This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here we go. It is hour number 5 of the G-Bag Nation. Look at this. Time flies when you're having fun. And it has been a lot of fun talking football with you here throughout the broadcast evening and afternoon. It's a Victory Cowboys Monday, right? Now we can talk about this team in a different light as they get ready to take on the Giants, looking for 2 in a row. And if you look at the schedule after that, they could pick up a couple of more. Cincinnati, then Carolina. Okay, had the Mike McCarthy press conference back there about an hour ago. If you want to go back and listen to his latest updates on the team, looks like Cooper Rush has some work to do getting healthy to play Thursday. And the injury report quite populated, so we'll be all over that throughout the week as they get set to take on the Giants on Thanksgiving. G-Bag Nation, it is time now for a sports hodgepodge. Two guys, one booth coming up in 20 minutes. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you. 877-881-1053. So Broadus and I are in the clear from a G-Bag Survivor standpoint. We both have the Chiefs. Bit of a nail-biter. But the beauty of having Mahomes in a situation like that, there was never one moment where my confidence left 100%.
You weren't stressing too much.
I just knew ultimately, even though this thing is getting a little bit closer than I would have liked, as I picked a 10-point favorite there in the Chiefs, I never lost confidence whatsoever. I'm sure Broadus was the same way. You guys, of course, had Thursday Night Football. You take the L. You took the Steelers. The Browns get the victory. So looking forward to seeing what we have cooked up there from a payoff standpoint. I know Dawson and Broadus have racked them up in a big way.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, now I'm not going all in with this yet. Got to see injury reports as we get closer. But Thursday Night Football, Lambeau Field, sub-30-degree temperatures with the Dolphins, Hawaiian quarterback in those uniforms.
Ooh.
I think that's going to be a no-brainer Packers survivor pick, even though I like it. Broadus is potentially going to go with the Cowboys.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys on Thursday.
If I'm Tua right now, I'm thinking about retirement before we get up there to Lambeau. I'm done skiing. This will push me over the edge with sub-freezing temperatures. Who are you going with, Brian?
I might go with the Cowboys.
There you go.
Against the Giants.
Yeah. The Giants are a complete dumpster fire right now.
They are. They are. And the Cowboys, if we were an extra point away from the Cowboys looking like a complete dumpster fire as well,
yeah,
after yesterday's insanity.
Sure.
I don't know if I can have Cowboy confidence despite what we saw yesterday and with what is happening with the Giants. One of my principles in Survivor is just at all costs try and stay away
Cutlets
from divisional
is starting,
games.
Right?
Stay away from divisional games. You never know if Cutlets can pull one out, man. He had a couple of weeks last year.
Yeah.
Where he was stealing the show Monday Night Football, scrambling for touchdowns, and sending Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, and the Packers home crying. So I don't know. But if you're ever going to pick the Cowboys, this is probably that week. I mean, the Cowboys might be favored for the next three games.
Yeah, they could be. I mean,
Giants,
I don't think the Cincinnati game they will.
But they're home. They're home to the Bengals.
That's not good.
Well, fair. But I think from Vegas' standpoint, they would still probably appreciate
Joe Burrow versus Cooper Rush. In that football game.
Okay, well then guess that spread 2 weeks in advance.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football, Cowboys hosting the Bengals. What's the spread?
I'm gonna say Bengals will be a road favorite.
I think a field goal favorite.
Yeah.
Wow.
3.5, 4, maybe.
All I mean, right. I would definitely take the Bengals to win that game. Joe Burrow and the offense is still killing.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's gonna be tough to
absolutely
to beat them.
Yeah. No, I would still be picking the Bengals as well, but with the Giants, the Bengals, and the Panthers, you could be looking Giants, at a Panthers. Bit of a win streak coming up here, which would be a bummer for those of us that would like to have a top 10 pick. I still feel like this is going to be a top 10 pick team.
Sure, because you're probably going to lose the games to Cincinnati, to Philadelphia, Tampa Bay. You know, that Washington game, which will be interesting about that Washington game, that could mean something for Washington. And they're here. If somehow, you know, maybe you try and play hard for Mike one last time kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing better than keeping Washington out of the playoffs. And if that's
playing spoiler with the Commanders, that's what made yesterday ultimately worth it as you balance whether or not you wanted to lose that game or not. Just seeing Dan Quinn and the Commanders. And again, what happened on the pregame show where it's just a get right game for the Commanders. Everybody's just salivating.
What was the guy's name? Braun? Braun?
Bram Weinstein. Brand. Voice Brand. Of the Commandos.
He said get right 5 times. I thought he was promoting our old show.
Yeah.
You know?
I did too.
I'm like, dude, he's listening.
Big Reggie fan.
But no, he was talking about Dallas is going to be a get right game for the Commanders.
Okay, well, does this change your mind on the Bengals at all? I just saw a report that after losing 2 straight games and having a 4-7 record, the Bengals are bringing back the ping pong tables into the locker room for the first time this season. Is that a throw in the towel situation from a Bengals standpoint, fellas? Get back to having fun, donging around. We'll see you on draft night. I don't know. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
So
by the way.
So.
Mike McDaniel's solution for the cold, and he's being sarcastic when he says it, but I'm trying to figure out, like, how can you duplicate this thing? If you're in Miami and you're trying to get ready for a Green Bay game, there's, like, you can always prepare for noise or
go
even,
practice there.
Practice on the
right?
hockey
I'm
ring.
Like, dude, you gotta take this show on the road. You got to find a way, like, scientifically, they have Steve Ross, their owner, big money real estate guy. Like, can't you build some type of igloo practice field for, like, the 1 or 2 times a season? I mean, you're playing the AFC East. You got to go to Foxborough. You got to go to New York. You got to go to Buffalo.
Yeah.
You're about to go to Lambeau. If you really cared about your team, why wouldn't you have some level of indoor icebox ready for moments like this? Because Mike McDaniel's saying, yeah, I'm just going to carry ice cubes in my pocket and peg my players during the week. He's just going to be throwing ice cubes at his players. There's no way to prepare
for
Lambeau.
We're
throwing
ice cubes arena,
at each other.
We have a hockey arena outside of Miami. Maybe some practice there in the hockey arena.
Yeah, the Florida Panthers.
There you go.
There's
something.
Just crank that air way, way, way down.
Play on the ice as well. You know how slick it gets at Lambeau this time of year, Broadus. You know? Can you build something like this?
Go
from
practice.
What I can tell.
Go just take your team up north and go practice in Wisconsin. And
just stay there for the week.
One of those colleges, man.
Find a high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that.
Find grass.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea, and I wouldn't be surprised if a team would try it. But from what I understand, like if you want to get the body acclimated to elevation, heat, or cold, it takes like 13, 14 days. So there's I don't think there's a benefit to it. There's only mental toughness. Like if you want to maybe try to hypnotize us into not caring about the cold, but here's what I'd do. I would say, guys, these cavemen that have built this league for the last 100 years built up some idea that you can't wear sleeves. Okay, not only are we wearing sleeves, we're going to get like heated wetsuits. Okay, we're going to be running around out there at perfect comfort levels.
All right.
Going to be getting cold. Their toes are going to be freezing. They have Vaseline all over their bodies trying to cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be running around like it's 80 degrees in Miami.
There's something, man.
The advantage we had.
I get these vests for coaching.
Yeah.
I'm standing out there in like 25 degrees with a 30 mile an hour gust, and I'm like I'm in
paradise.
A hot tub.
You're good to go.
Wow, dude. Toasty.
Put
that under the pad. You're good.
The advantage that you have playing at Lambeau is you live in that.
Yes,
that's your advantage.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because
that's how
Jameis
Winston was out there in short sleeves last Thursday night.
Teams get destroyed as soon as they land at Green Bay, the tiny airport, and they open
mentally,
the door. They open the door on the plane, and that cold wind comes blowing through that plane.
Yeah.
That's what, and they step outside. That's what gets them.
They're done.
That's what gets so. The advantage
they didn't lose a playoff game there for 50 years.
No, until Michael Vick came along.
Yeah.
Michael Vick.
Well, I appreciate the ideas on this. I think there's something that needs to be done here.
I'd be on an igloo. I think that'd be neat.
Yeah, but build out some type
of fun.
Twice a year we're going to build a
As you're going to practice in the igloo today.
Yeah. We'll build a $5 million facility that just blows cold air.
Boom. I love it. And then talk about a recovery after a blistering, humid day in Miami during training camp. Build, you go hang out in the ice box.
Can you build something that would be 20 degrees, that make the air temperature 20 degrees?
I feel like there is a way here. If you're a guy like Steve Ross who has all the billions in the world, I think if you just speak this into existence, somebody will put their hand
Get
up and
Steve
say,
Steve Ballmer
the right
involved,
price,
that
I
guy with
you.
The Clippers. He'll come up with
he
something.
He needs it. Yeah. He's sweating his face he off would all love the time. He needs would, a personal one.
He would love to borrow that, yeah.
You could hold team meetings in a meatpacking plant for 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
To build up to this.
All right.
Yeah.
Go Rocky Balboa.
Yeah. We're going to go 4 or 5 hours a day in here, boys.
I can't wait. You going to pick the Packers?
I'm thinking about picking the Packers. You're dang right.
Come on, Dolphins. I've never cheered so hard for the Dolphins in my life.
Don't make me pull for the Giants, Bleephole.
You will anyway.
I think you're trying to say the Dolphins beat the Chiefs last year, too. You got a thing for like the Dolphins finally winning in a cold weather game.
Who? Me?
Yeah.
Yes. Eventually,
He wants like to will them it. To victory. I respect will it. Them.
I'd like to see it.
McDaniel brought his daughter to the press conference yesterday and says, okay, say bad things about me now.
Easy to do when you blow out the Patriots.
That's a great plan. I like what he did.
He went Sirianni?
Yeah, he did.
But Sirianni did it when he knew he was about to get ripped.
Yeah.
McDaniel
after
did it
he yelled
after
at a fan.
Completely dominated the Patriots. But, yes, McDaniel's back in his goofy
Why are you so against
days.
My guy?
No, I like him. I totally like him.
He likes him.
He's a goober. Really. Yes. I mean, listen, when you're winning, it's all fun.
He hates the capri pants and stuff
Well, I mean, hey, that's another added thing. Everybody's getting off the bus. It's 20 degrees outside. You have a Hawaiian quarterback. You have the uniforms speak for themselves. And then, oh, by the way, coach is wearing capris. Does this look like a tough physical football team that's going to go storming the frozen tundra and rip a victory out of there?
What does Lucius say about Miami's uniforms? They're not serious.
They're on vacation or something.
They're on vacation.
Yeah. And he's 100% right. And that point still stands as they head to 20 degrees on Thursday night for Thanksgiving.
Come on.
Take the L on TNF.
Come on, Dolphins.
Weekend Warrior goes tough guy of the weekend. Mike Tirico, did you see him broadcasting that game last night in a boot because he tore his Achilles tendon? Like, what is Mike Tirico doing? Where he is tearing his Achilles tendon. We didn't get a backstory on this, but we got to figure out, again, Mike Tirico, we all know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
What physical exertion did he do to rupture an Achilles tendon? Either way, salute to him because he still broadcasted the game.
I mean, I would think maybe bowling would be the extent of his athletic ability, but that's a blue-collar activity. I just don't think that lines up with Mike Tirico. I do think, you know, you remember the Dre Greenlaw torn Achilles?
Yeah.
You know, he's just jumping. It could have been some CrossFit. Maybe he's, you know, I don't know.
CrossFit and Tirico in the same sentence? History's been made,
ladies
and gentlemen,
the
G-Bag Nation.
Maybe
he's
the
my
Leno
Italian
Hill.
Brother, okay?
You remember, you know when
I'm
they
giving
say,
him an award, Weekend Warrior. I'm saluting the guy.
No, this is good. But you know when they say don't overdo it in your first workout because you might hurt yourself?
And he hurt himself.
And that's usually like when you're getting back into it. This is actually his first in the history of his whole life. Okay, look, did you see C.J. Stroud? Did he run? Did he go Orlovsky?
He did.
He
went out the back of the end zone.
He's getting saved by the sack that where you're like kind of wondering.
No,
he was heading that direction. Looked like he was. It looked like the sack saved him from complete.
He was heading that direction.
Like, wow. Okay, C.J. Stroud and the Texans are hilarious. And then finally, I saw this. And this makes plenty of sense. We'll see how Longhorns fans feel about this. But over the weekend, I saw Nicole Griffith reporting they have added speakers to the field level at Kyle Field.
Okay.
For the first time this season. And a staff member said that it's specifically for the Texas game. And so
what's the plan?
I don't know. I guess, like, I don't know if this is like the band. Anytime the band is playing, they have more speakers on the field, and it's going to be on the Longhorn sideline to just like completely drown them in all the noise possible. I don't know what type of regulations there are with like pumping in sound.
I don't think you could do that, can you?
It doesn't sound like you can, but
maybe it's a loophole like you can do it with the band.
Right. Like you can't do crowd band, noise per se, but like
that band is already loud enough.
Well,
you heard the Aggie band play?
Exactly.
Holy not loud enough. Apparently not loud enough when it's all the marbles, SEC championship game or bust, UT, Aggie, first game in forever. This is going to be a moment in time.
Yeah, 2011.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah, and
there's got to be a rule against this.
Hopefully they're not just blaring
the Aggie
out
the band is naturally loud. I mean, loud.
Of course.
Well, really loud.
We do know from your dad's stories, they will, you know,
manipulate the game the best we can.
We'll manipulate it.
This is gamesmanship. This is
field advantage.
This is Kentucky letting the grass grow a little bit when the speed of Texas gets on the field.
It's a 100,000-seat stadium, too.
It's going to feel like 150.
This is like Oregon State in 1960-something spraying the field when O.J. Simpson was coming into town.
Okay.
Oh, there you USC go. That day.
Was this Terry Beeman, 1960?
Terry Baker?
I said Terry Beeman.
Willie Beeman.
I was thinking of Terry.
Willie Beeman.
But Terry Baker, he was a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, I think 67, maybe. Something in there.
That was Gary Beeman.
We are live at Shell Shack in Arlington, right off of 30. We have 40 minutes of broadcast remaining. And a Monday staple coming up next, boys.
Let's do it. A little two guys, one booth. Best sounds from a 9-hour broadcast here on the Fan.
Shoot ya, boy. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We're live at Shell Shack in Arlington. Having a great time here, and we still have 35 minutes of show to go. Fan After Dark immediately at the top of the hour. There's no Cowboys Hour tonight with Brad. So my apologies for promoting that earlier, but thanks to Tim Collins. Picked me up, got me the scoop. Okay, segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankofirm.com. Second time Tim picked me up today, actually. I was hanging out in the prep room there at about 12:55.
Yeah.
He swung by and he was like, you guys are in Arlington today. They're at the Shell Shack. Like, thanks, buddy. Cannot wait.
Let me know.
Made my day. And then when I got here and got the grilled shrimp, it was even better.
Wow.
Heavenly.
How special was that?
Dude? Man, the grilled shrimp. I mean, somebody ordered the wings out here. Those also looked and smelled absolutely delicious.
I think the ladies over here are punishing some wings, it looks like.
Dude, I'll tell you what. The shout out to our guy, Vincent, who rolled up today, and he jumped on the fried gator.
Oh,
gator bites.
And he put the buffalo sauce on it. Hello. It was his first time trying it. I've only had gator one time. I thought it was.
You spoke very highly of it.
Better than chicken tenders, dude.
Could be.
Like, only the one time.
Yep. From my experience.
Yes.
Dipping that thing in ranch.
I had some of those at the Daytona 500.
Oh, yeah?
For the first time, and I was hooked. Now, whenever I see them. If we're looking for appetizers, I love the gator tail.
Some carryover from that Kyle Field story.
Yeah,
we've got from the 9-4.
I worked Dawson right now.
What?
Order him up.
Dawson, will you eat him?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you don't believe him? You think he's ball sack?
I won't. They're disgusting. Bet pay off.
They're disgusting. I hate gator. It makes me sick.
I've gotten so used
don't
to Dawson.
Don't feed me that gator.
Dawson's like, oh, my gosh, those are excellent. And in real life, I'm thinking, he is not going to eat another order of these things.
Okay, so the way I found I liked calamari was the same way I found I liked gator tail.
You didn't know what it was?
Freaking hammered.
Okay. Hammered. Yep. There you go.
You know,
it kind of broke, a little bit better when you're drunk.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was a good trip.
There we go.
9-4 says, I worked at Kyle Field while in school. There's 100% manufactured noise in that stadium. So maybe this is on brand, and they know the loopholes there in Aggieland to get around this.
That stadium is huge.
I did see Tick Pick this morning, Texas A&M this Saturday. Most expensive regular season football ticket ever, including NFL and college football.
Somehow, young Bennett Broadus will be in the stands for the Horns.
Average purchase price is $1,000.79.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Just over $1,000 just to get in the door. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable rivalry.
And it's got all the stakes on it, dude.
Now it's now it's like, okay, winner gets to go to the SEC championship game. It's going to be incredible. All right, let's do it. It's time to relive a 9-hour game day here on a victorious Cowboys Monday with a little two guys, one booth. You do this, I'll do that.
Great idea, fellas. Let's relive the craziest game any of us have seen in a long time.
Woo!
A five-minute stretch in the fourth quarter that was unlike any other. 24 points scored by the Cowboys in quarter number four. Absolutely ridiculous. And this is how we start off the proceedings. Take it away, Brad.
If you're kin to Josh Butler, you ought to be really proud.
Yeah. I may adopt him.
Second down four, pistol formation.
I may adopt him. You never know. Hey, that'd be fun there between Brad and Babe. I think this game probably for them as well. I mean, listening to them try and wrap it up, like, you got zero there. He's giving them the wrap-up sign. Peyton's like, wrap. They're like, bleep you guys. Okay, we haven't had anything good to talk about here for a while. We're going to go as long as we want.
I was hoping they would keep talking.
Just keep talking. Take the phone calls. Yeah. Why don't you talk to Jeremy in San Antonio?
Yeah.
Brad would love that.
Brad would have had at it.
He would have.
He would have.
You guys had a great, respectable post-game conversation with Brad, though.
Yeah.
He couldn't wait to pop bottles on that airplane.
Oh, yeah. Brad was excited.
Oh, I bet he was ready to tear it up.
I bet he had a chocolate chip cookie.
I bet he had two of them.
Maybe.
He had Derek Eagle.
He took Derek's.
Yeah. I'd give you $100 to ask Brad the question, was this really that good of a win? You know?
Ooh, I would have done it if you had to let me know yesterday.
That would be fun. That would be fun if we did bits? Some bits.
Because he would have gone, hey, Dawson asked me. Yeah. And he was going to give me $100, Brad. If I asked
what do you
this
think? Like, was this that big of a win for you?
Isn't Dawson a jerk for offering me $100?
Yes. How ridiculous. I'm waiting for somebody to say.
But seriously, I think he's got a point.
I think he hates Chief more.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, by far.
I would be his one seed. I just can't.
On the hate-o-meter?
It's my infatuation with the sushi halftime spread.
That was pretty bad.
Which,
I think there's
going to be. I do my best not to talk about.
I think there's going to be a day he's going to punch you in the face.
I believe it, man.
He's just going to rear back and old man punch you in the face.
He'll KO me.
Go full Tarico tears ACL. Might have to do that.
No, he'll throat punch me like Martin got.
Oh, my gosh. All right, what else do we have, Brad and Babe?
Baby! Stop that.
High snapping?
Yeah, I know. He hadn't done that yet this year.
Hey, when Teron Payne gets in front of you, you start seeing things a little bit differently.
My guy, he's getting out in space. He's making a couple blocks for you, but then a couple bad snaps. It's all right. Could we figure this out.
Yeah, he will. Overall, pretty impressive showing by the offensive line yesterday. And a good game plan.
They had a good game plan yesterday.
They sure did. And that Commander's defense is a problem. I mean, Mike, you talk about the offense and that thing kind of falling off a little bit, but man, that defense, there's some issues when you're running the ball decently effective, and it's the Cowboys, you're like, dude. But again, I thought they had a really nice plan with the way they were doing things, getting them out of the pocket, easy reads for them, scheming some things up. It was nice. All right, let's see. Two guys, one booth. Who's next?
I believe slipped right off him like he had Crisco on his hips.
See, this is like the Vaseline thing, right? But now you're going Crisco here, which might be I don't know what would be slicker. Maybe it's
silicone.
Really, I'm sorry,
silicone. We used to spray silicone on jerseys.
Oh,
slippery
in Green Bay.
Yeah,
you guys were cheating.
We're always cheating.
Was that on the spin move? Was that Kevontae Turpin being slippery? Was that maybe Jaden Daniels? Jaden Daniels seems like the most slippery player on that field.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jaden was tough a few times. I will say it was fun getting to watch with Brian, and he had a big emphasis on roughing up Jaden Daniels throughout the game. He was like, hit him! Hit him! I mean, he's on the sidelines trying to get out of bounds. He's like, hit him! Overshown. I mean, he'd take a 15-yard penalty in a heartbeat.
He just
wanted to rough his dude up.
I was thinking, rough this guy up. Get him to stop running.
You never said hurt or injure, though.
No, I said hit him. Rough him up.
If he's going to run, make him pay. I agreed with you. I was like, you know what? Make him think twice about this. Go bleep yourself, Jaden. Yeah.
Something tells me we're going to be interviewing Mrs. Daniels at the Super Bowl.
That's his agent now, I think, too.
We're going viral in Washington.
I didn't say hurt him. I just said rough him up.
Just hit him.
Yeah, I had the thought a couple of times, like, if he could just stay down for a while.
I mean, that Micah got him
stay
pretty
down.
Good there.
It's the best chance you got to win.
That's what we want to see.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got, Brad and Babe?
Flags back upfield at the 45. Call hold.
All sides. Defense. Laugh. 55.
I'm sure the frustration's been building over the last few weeks with all the damn holding penalties that have been called for Brad.
There's been a lot of them. A lot of those, a lot of pre-snap
especially
stuff.
Once the takeaway first downs. It's like, come on.
Those ones hurt, dude. They really do. The holding call on Guyton was BS.
It was.
But all those other ones, you're just shaking your head like, please,
they had a holding call late in the game that was the Zach Ertz touchdown that should have been a whole same kind of situation with their tackle with Lucas.
Oh, yeah.
Same deal. And they let it go. I mean, I'm like, okay, that's fine. But they did.
But you said they let it go on the Turpin.
On the Turpin touchdown, there could have been two calls right there.
As long as it's both ways.
Two. Holding on Hall and blocking the back by Brooks could have been called.
That would have been gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Taking that play away.
Oh,
I mean, even if you're a referee and you see that, you're not taking that play
after
away.
That spin move. No.
That
I'm
was
going to tuck that.
That
back
was phenomenal.
In the pocket there.
Yeah. All right, Brad. What's next?
False start.
There you go. Good for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that one he can thank that. I already forgot the name of the Bears.
Tyreek Stevenson,
who was down in the corner
of
the
goodness.
End zone, taunting the Washington fans when the ball came in the air. Oops, I better go. Oops.
Oops. Yeah, that was one of the plays of the season. And they almost had their 2.0 moment. Unfortunately, the kicker.
Bears haven't been the same since that.
They haven't.
They've lost some really bad games.
They have. Caleb Williams has been playing better, though, and he certainly did yesterday. Gave them a shot against Minnesota, but didn't get it done. All right, Brad, as the game continued, what else do we have?
Daniels takes the snap and hands it off.
The snop snap. Takes the snop.
Takes a little snop. He was. I thought he was good, though, and the speed is is real.
Yeah, need to rough him up a little bit.
Just hit him.
Hit him.
I was surprised at the lack of screens. I mean, that was the one thing I was telling Brian. Like, the way the Cowboys were getting upfield and they were sending pressure, they haven't defended screens well, and they've got a couple of skilled players, McLaurin, Brown. You put the ball in their hands. Eckler, run a couple of screens, and Cliff Kingsbury just was not in the bag.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, you even saw...
Well, the one screen they tried to throw ended up intercepted by Golston. Yeah.
It did. Yeah. But, hey, that's a one-off. But go ahead. You're going to do that twice? It's the first interception Chauncey Golston's ever had.
Bad game plan by Cliff.
I think so.
Figured him out again, didn't they?
Sure did.
Yeah, I mean, get some wide receiver screens going. Texans were getting you on some of those. I mean, Nico Collins should have had a touchdown. Was that the first play of the
first
game?
First play of the game it was. That got
was
called
a
back.
Forward pass, though.
Do you think they'll win here against Washington? I would love that.
It's possible.
Okay, so.
Watch it be for a spot.
Final game of the season, right? You can keep them out of the playoffs and pick 13th or lose and pick 9th.
Oh, crap.
Give me the 13th pick.
Yeah, I'll tell you when the game starts, I want to knock them out of the playoffs.
Keep them out of the playoffs.
You know, that post-game clarity.
I watched Roger Staubach.
Maybe feel a little different.
Mm-hmm. I watched Roger Staubach's last home game at Texas Stadium in 1979, and the touchdown pass to Tony Hill was that knocked the Redskins out of the playoffs. So, yeah, give me that every time.
The Kingsbury stuff is crazy. They're calling it the Cliff.
Yeah.
And is it real?
Okay.
And even dating back to 2013 at Texas Tech, like his teams, they're all under 500 the second half of the season, their win-loss records. And when he was the coach of the Cardinals – The points per game pretty much dropped. Like in 2020, they averaged 29 points per game first half of the season, second half of the season, 22. Next year, it's 31 points per game first half of the season. They're 8-1, then they go 3-5, and they score 21.5 points per game the rest of the way. And then this year, the final year in Arizona, it was 22 points in the first half and then 17 in the second half. They go 1-7 record-wise. So literally, even from Texas Tech all the way through Arizona, his second half record was always under 500, and his offense has always had points per game less.
He's got tells. He's predictable.
I guess. Like he has,
just doesn't adjust.
Yeah. Like, I mean, teams adjust to him, and then he's got no counter punch, I guess.
I mean, this should is, go it's, work. It's a trend that seems undeniable.
Yeah.
Three different places. Like, that's you.
Watching pieces of the Seattle game, they were talking about Mike McDonald as being the least predictable coach in the NFL. Like, nobody can get a beat on what he's doing. You know, I think there's a huge range on that. Mm-hmm. How aware are you? How hard are you working? Like, Kobe Bryant, intentionally looked at all of his splits, and every time he went right, he would make sure he went left one time.
Just to even up the tendencies.
Yeah. Just so people would look at the stats and like, holy crap.
Sometimes you got to do that.
Yeah.
Just to add a little confusion. All right, anything? What more do we got, Lucius?
But this time there was nobody at the spot.
Oh, we had a little voice crack.
Voice
Brad.
Might call that a big voice crack. Yeah. That was on three. Is that a full sentence?
I think so. I think that was a full sentence worth of a crack. Can't one more time.
But this time there was nobody at the spot.
Yeah, that one didn't go away.
Was that the snap over Cooper's head?
Oh, wow.
That was special there from Brett. The excitement was real.
I've been there.
Yesterday was palpable.
Been there.
All right, let's see what's next.
And I don't want to say you're happy about it. And one thing I hate, Brad, I hate hearing people always talk, oh, they settled for field goals. You're not settling. You're not getting into the end zone.
You go line up in the backyard against 11 of these guys and go get a field goal.
But I mean, so you got to kick a field goal.
Yeah, Babe, you failed to a field goal.
Babe loves field goals, man.
I mean, I think that
Babe was painting the picture early in the game. He's like, man, hey, you get about 10 drives a game, you kick a field goal every drive, you score 30 points. He's like, this is a foolproof plan here. Just
but
kick field goals.
When the goal is the touchdown and you don't get that, then you are settling for a field goal.
Babe's
right?
favorite play of the game was the second down field goal late in the game by the Commanders. He was like, see, that's how you do it. damn second and third and fourth down. All right, just kick the field goal whenever you get an opportunity. You get in range, you swing it.
Yeah.
I love me some Babe Laufenberg. All right, let's see. Any more? Brad Schamp?
This game will need to do some time in the drunk tank.
Yeah. The last
it's a great line.
5 minutes of that game and the last 3 minutes were historic. I mean, it was just absolutely bonkers. Just as soon as you thought the Cowboys had put the game away, something just trumped the other thing to make it even wilder at the end there.
You know, sometimes people say, I only need to watch the fourth quarter.
You really did.
This time, yeah.
I mean, that, yeah, it was 3-3 at halftime. come on, it was 10-9. Brian, I didn't know if they'd even get another offensive touchdown after that, team.
Was it 13-9 going into the fourth quarter?
I think so. And it was the first third quarter the Cowboys just didn't get absolutely demolished in since the opener. They actually played
pretty well.
We got anything else, or did we crush them, Lucius? All right, let's go.
There it is. Two guys, one booth, another one in the books. We're live at Shell Shack in Arlington for another 20 minutes. We'll cross with the fan after dark and see what they have cooking here for you on a victorious Cowboys Monday evening. That's next here in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you, Lucius, and thanks to the Cowboys and that insane in the membrane finish yesterday afternoon. Got us back in winning ways, snapped a four-game losing streak, and now look at the schedule. Could a four-game winning streak possibly be on the cards? That would be a shock, but I think it's doable. Hey, I saw something I've just found interesting on Cowboys Twitter. Duke Manyweather retweeted this and said agreed. And this goes to the most important assistant coach on the team, maybe the most important coach on the team, as Brian's been telling us about.
Yeah.
And the tweet was, it's OL development at every level from high school to the NFL, nearing the point of having a true O-line coach, but then also hiring a coach or group to come work on actual player technique, fundamentals. And for some, it's shocking how little they know how to watch their own film and take notes.
Sure.
So I think that's a big opportunity for the coaching staff that wants to invest in that and build this thing out.
Yeah.
You know, especially because the advantage just continues to shift to defensive linemen as they get bigger and stronger and faster and quicker and more bendy. And you're kind of at your limit. Like, we're boxy and we got strong legs, and a strong back, and we can sit right here. But how do you improve the modern offensive lineman's chance? Because you need that for an entertaining product.
See, this is where there's like 25 coaches on these staffs.
Mm-hmm.
There's like an assistant to the assistant, you know. Where is the development? And this is if you had a guy, this is where Bill Belichick would come in. Because Bill would have the assistants to the assistants working with all the young guys, is what he would do. He would have a young guy practice after the actual practice.
Yeah.
So, you know, that you're getting technique work and stuff. Because when we get to the season, what are those young guys doing? They're just scout team dudes.
Yeah.
They're reading cards and saying, okay, scoop block this way. Well, how do you want me to scoop? Like, do you want me to scoop like the Giants do it, or do you want us to scoop like we do it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, do it like the Giants do it. You're going to take this, you know. So you're really not working on your technique.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, in week 8, you got to go play.
Yep.
And you're really not, you know, you're not ready to go. Give these veteran guys yesterday a lot of credit, Hoffman and Bass and those guys, for being ready to play.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting a whole hell of a lot of work. Awesome Richards looks like he's shown up some stuff at left tackle.
I know Jerry can be kind of miserly when it comes to paying coaches.
Sure.
But I think you explain it to him like it's going to be a more entertaining product. I think you're getting return on investment here with a more upright quarterback.
It just, to me, it's offensive line, defensive line, any one of these positions, you know, that you have. Like I say, they're
very technical.
There was a time in the NFL we had a staff of like 10 guys, 12 guys. That was it. Now they've got staffs of, just look at someone's guide or media guide and look at all the coaches they got, and you're going, for what? And is anybody developing these guys? Is anybody – the Mike Solari probably doesn't have time to work.
No.
But the assistant to the assistant offensive line coach could sure be out there with those, you know, with young guys and having these types of practices where they're working on these techniques.
Well, what hurts them is also the lack of pads. Like, you're not – with the new CBA, these guys aren't able to have padded practices. Like, when you listen to the Cowboys Hour and Nate Newton's on there talking about, these guys don't hit anymore. You know, so as an offensive lineman, if I can't be wearing pads in practice
Footwork,
it's
hand placement.
You know,
yeah, body shape.
Absolutely.
Lots of different things you could work on. And, you know, I thought that was, you know, incredibly pertinent here for where we are in all of football. You know, league-wide, how do you get the upper hand again and start putting on the most entertaining product possible? It's time now to cross with the Fan After Dark. You have Fred and Blake in studio, ready to go 4 hours here for you, gentlemen. Good evening. How we doing?
Doing splendid, boys. Didn't know you were going to cross talk with us. I'm just excited to hear you guys. We are looking at what guests we're going to have tonight. Mike Williams, NBA player, averaged about 25 minutes a game. Fred Davis pulling some good guests to have tonight to talk a little NBA.
Right on. Yeah, Mavs and Hawks are in action in Atlanta midway through the first quarter. So lots to talk about here tonight. What were you guys thinking as that game was coming down the stretch last night? Were you wanting the Cowboys to win?
Oh, yeah. So me and Fred were actually on the phone the entire fourth quarter, and FaceTime. I was quite literally screaming for the Cowboys to lose. I was like, Commanders, you can win this game. I believe in you. There's still a chance. Onside kick. I will say I did get excited when Turpin had a spin move touchdown.
I loved it.
Wanye had a touchdown. I was excited for the personal moment, but I wanted the Cowboys to lose the game overall. I'm pretty sure we all know why draft pick. I know we'll go back and forth to that all day. Should you tank? Should you not tank? But overall, I did not want the Dallas Cowboys to win because I didn't want the front office and the team to think this is a good team moving forward. I wanted to fall apart in their face so they realize the team that they built and have to start from the ground zero, my opinion.
Yeah, Fred, I was you know, I was enjoying that angle of possibly, you know, not only getting a better pick, but having this be rock bottom for the Cowboys. But I want them to be good enough that we can talk about them being strong next year. Like, you know, in 2010, you start 1-7, you finish strong. The next year, you're 500, and you're playing for the playoffs in Week 17. That's what I want to believe is possible for next year. So I was happy they were making enough plays on both sides of the ball for once.
Slump buster vibes. That's what yesterday gave me, all right? I mean, we all need them, right? I mean, Mark Grace, God bless him, talked about slump busters way back when. And look, nothing changes fundamentally about how we feel about this Dallas Cowboy football team. They're still a mess offensively. Although I will say I was pleasantly surprised with how well that offensive line held up yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was very, very pleased with that. I mean, they looked like a legit football team at times. Is it time to start maybe? And is Bones Fossil getting bailed out by the return guys? Because other than that, I mean, look, Aubrey had, you know, they had issues in the first half.
Yeah.
All right. And everybody keeps telling me, and again, I'll defer to you on this, Broadus, because I haven't had a chance to listen to you guys today, is that it's football special teams 101. You fall on that ball, right? But Wanye said, I'm taking this to the hazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, you knew exactly where Bones Fossil stood when after that second half kickoff went out of bounds, you know, when they tried to kind of chip it down there. They didn't get it into the zone, and then it went out. And then Mike McCarthy walked over to him and says, don't ever effing do that again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he did. Bones Fossil was looking straight at him, and Mike was not happy right then and there. And, yeah, you know, there's things here. Bones Fossil tries to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
Too much.
Yeah.
Just, you know, coach the position, get the guys in ready to go, you know, do what you have to do. Make sure that your protection's good so you don't have guys just jumping over legs to get them get blocks. You know, you got to figure out a lot of this stuff. He's doing way too much.
You think he's gone too, a full blowout?
Absolutely is. Yeah, full blowout, yes.
That's exactly absolutely what I was going to ask you, Broadus. I'm not sure his contract status, but do you see Bones as being a guy that could be here, or do you think this is towards the end?
Let me tell you, people are always really excited about, and you know, he's a guy, a very personable guy and all that. But, you know, your job is to make sure that thing is buttoned up. They have had far too many things happen this year. You know, Wanye Thomas took the blame for the fake punt. You know, somebody puts that in. If we get this look, this is what we're going to do. Had a couple of those that just haven't worked at the wrong time. You know, you're lucky their field goal kicker was just all over the place yesterday, or you might have lost that one. Yeah,
I do think if I'm Mike, I'm thinking if there's opportunities, we got to take our chances on special teams or we might not get the 10 points.
No, but
if you failed so much.
Let me tell you what, if I'm a special teams coach working against the Cowboys and my guy kicks off and it goes to Turpin, you're fired. I'm walking up right to you, right on the sidelines and go, give me your headset, get up in the stands. You're gone. You know, we could fix this. Don't punt it to him. Don't kick it to him. Okay? I'm special teams coach today. If you do either one, you're fired.
Immediately.
All right?
Get out of here.
We're good.
How about the kicker, though? We're keeping Aubrey, right?
Yes, yeah, we're keeping Aubrey. Yeah, yeah.
You got pink slips in your pocket that day?
You know what?
Kinda, you just go hand it to him and say, see
I'm walking up, and I'm ripping the headset off your head and go, get!
Get him the hell out of here.
Get!
Kick
here
rocks.
They come. The Fan After
Hit
Dark.
The bricks.
Thanks so much to Shell Shack for having us out here in Arlington today. It's been a time. Delicious food and beverage awaits you. Okay. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup back home. Master Control. This went five flawless once again. Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Woolchuck and Chia following brought us. I'm Gavin Dawson, and until tomorrow at 2, Eric Kendrick Show at 5, you're going home with the Nation. At ease.